Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year, except that at 99% of the places that take credit cards in the country, discover.com/yes. Bucky Brooks, by the way, is doing the Jags-Cleveland Browns game tomorrow. It's Urban Meyer's NFL debut. So he was in all those production meetings today. He's just out of those production meetings. And Bucky Brooks, Fox Sports analyst, joining us. Former player, scout. All right. Are they drinking the Urban Meyer Kool-Aid? What do you make of it?
Hey, Colin, it's unlike anything that I've ever experienced. You talk about a team really buying into what the coach is preaching. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whichever player you talk to about Coach Meyer and the culture down in Jacksonville, they all are saying the same things. Winner's mentality, very competitive in everything you do, want to strive to be the best in any and everything that you engage in. That's coaches, that's players, that's sports performance staff, that's the nutritionists. Everybody has been challenged by Urban Meyer to be at their best. And so, look, this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out in the preseason, where we talk about these games don't count, but they certainly matter. The Jaguars are primed and ready to show the football world that they're going to be a different team under Coach Meyer.
Okay, the Browns and the Jags tomorrow. Let's talk Cleveland. Trent Dilfer said this years ago, athletes all react the same to defeat. They work harder, but they handle winning differently. And Cleveland's got a little taste of success here for the first time in a long time. What do you expect with the Browns?
The Browns are going to be really good. Had a chance to go to their camp a couple weeks ago to watch them work out. The first thing that stands out is they are a talented group. I mean, they have five-star talents all over the board on both sides of the ball. And they really believe in what Kevin Stefanski has put together because it's a very organized and detailed program. When you watch them play, they play at a really fast tempo. They operate at a high level. And there's a swagger about them where they feel like they belong. They feel like they belong in the discussions with the top teams. And so this is just a matter of them going from being the hunter to the hunted, because now teams will use them as a measuring stick because so many of us in the media have kind of anointed them as the team that could challenge the Kansas City Chiefs and the AFC. So it's a little different handling the success, but on paper, this team looks as good as any in football on both sides of the ball.
Okay, so Mac Jones debuts last night. I think the ceiling's fairly low. If you're a coach and you're a staff, you could look at it and say, listen, we don't have playmakers, and Cam gives us some of that, especially around that red zone. Or you could look at it as a staff and say, listen, we don't have enough players to make mistakes. We don't have playmakers. We have to play really efficient, accurate, anticipatory, and Mac Jones is probably better. Like, what do you think the Patriots are thinking after last night?
I think let's divide the conversation in two. I think Mac Jones had a solid debut. I think he did what you would like to see a young quarterback do, make good decisions, take care of the football, get the ball to the playmakers that are open. He didn't really push the envelope when it came to trying to make these, I guess, high-risk throws. He just simply took what the defense gave them, and that allowed the offense to move. That said, they only scored 6 points in five drives when he was the leader of that offense. Cam Newton played a couple drives. They scored 3 points. What Cam gives them is the added dimension to the running game. And so he is going to be able to enhance the running game with his legs. He's going to be able to add a little different dimension. Mac Jones gives you what I would call the ultimate game manager. He's going to do it exactly how the coaches want. But when you have a team like the Patriots, you better be super talented on the outside, because if it goes off the script, Mac Jones doesn't have the ability to make it right. And so it puts a bit of a challenge on the coaches to make sure that their game plan and their play calling is right, because he can't make up any mistakes that you make.
So I watched Dwayne Haskins and all the highlights this morning, and I look at him, and it's the first time in years I've looked at one of their backup quarterbacks and thought, oh, yeah, that could be the heir apparent to Ben. Big, strong, accurate thrower. Maturity was the issue in D.C. What do you make of Dwayne Haskins? Do you think they will seriously consider him the heir apparent at the end of the year? Did we... We lost Bucky Brooks. He's in Jacksonville, by the way. That's Duval County. That's a long way from here. That's about the farthest you can be away from us, other than like South America, would be where Bucky Brooks is right now. So we'll try to get him back in a couple seconds. You guys tell me. I was going to ask him about Carolina going 12-5. You know, it's funny, during the break, these guys all laughed on the air. But when you look at my 12-5 Panthers, it's not totally unrealistic.
Your 12-5 Panthers. Oh, you are fully buying into this.
Yeah. I ordered a couple jerseys. But a lot of their go-either-way games are all at home. Vikings at home, Patriots at home, Washington. And those are go-either-way games.
Like, is Washington a go-either-way game?
By this week 11, they have lost their faith in Ryan Fitzpatrick. The locker room is divided.
They have a really good defense.
But the players are a mutiny. They're against Ryan Fitzpatrick. And by the way, week 9, all right, Bucky's back. Okay. So give me your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins. Legitimate or not, do you think the organization looks at him and will be fair and say, all right, we know Washington didn't work. It can work.
It absolutely will work in Pittsburgh. And the reason why we work in Pittsburgh is because he has coaches that really want it to work in Pittsburgh. I think this is a difference in being in an organization where you're really supported versus one where you're not necessarily supported. You're more tolerated. Dwayne Haskins had to do some maturing after his fallout in Washington. He comes to Pittsburgh, one, they still have an established culture. They have an environment that will allow him to flourish. Structured, disciplined, detailed, they're going to do those things. I also don't think it's a coincidence that he's playing under an offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, who has also spent years and years at the collegiate level. Maybe there's a communication, that connection, that allows Dwayne Haskins to play at his best. But Colin, the guy that we saw play last night for the Pittsburgh Steelers is a guy that looked like a first-round pick. He managed the offense, led him to 4 scoring drives. 3 of those were touchdowns, and he had a touchdown pass. I absolutely believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking at Dwayne Haskins and viewing him maybe as the franchise quarterback going forward, because I think he has a higher ceiling than Mason Rudolph, and I think the more he plays, the more he confirms that fact for the Steelers fan base.
All right, Dak Prescott, a second MRI. That's something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be something. You just don't casually go and get MRI. So I think if you're the Dallas Cowboys, there's a bit of a concern about the issue when it comes to Dak Prescott's shoulder. You want to check it out and make sure that he's good. You want to make sure that he also doesn't overuse it right now. And maybe you can put together a different throwing program for him in the regular season. But make no mistake about it, the Dallas Cowboys need Dak Prescott to be available. They need to tailor the practice schedule and his rehabilitation schedule to give him a chance to be there for all 17 games. If he's there for all 17, this offense can do special things, but they got to make sure that he's ready, because the backup quarterback situation is murky at best for the Cowboys.
All right, 15 seconds. Carolina Panthers schedule. I'll put it up there for you. I got 12-5. What do you think?
I think 12-5 is ambitious. If I'm Matt Rule, if I can get over the winning mark, 9-8, yes, there are a lot of these 50-50 games that you're giving to the Panthers. I'm not so ambitious that they can get it done. 9-8 is a reasonable expectation for the Carolina Panthers in year 2 of the Matt Rule era.
Well, when Brady sits in week 18 at home, when he sits and the whole offense sits and we squeak it out in overtime. All right, Bucky, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin.
A little optimistic, but, you know, I get one team.
Who was your team last year?
I didn't have one. No, it's a new me.
Oh.
It's okay. A casserole. I'm drunk on casserole. It's the new me. I ate casserole last night. I became a fan.
Ooh. I'm too dark to believe anymore. I'm just like, I just live on hope. I have very low expectations, and then I am rewarded that way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
All right, well, it's a Los Angeles thing. We like our rest and relaxation out here. We've got sunshine and palm trees, lots of healthy food. And the Chargers are starting their preseason schedule Saturday night against the Rams. None of the stars. Head coach Brandon Staley is being extra careful. No Justin Herbert, no Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Derwin James, and any of their preseason games.
Well, Keenan Allen and Derwin James have had nicked up injuries, and I'm not playing a starting running back. I wouldn't play any of these guys. This is the new NFL. You got to pick about 8 guys in the roster, and you're like, we're not playing them. I'm not playing Lamar Jackson if I'm Baltimore. What am I? I'm not playing their best offensive lineman. Or
but Colin, what about the calluses?
It's called practice. Beat on each other there. I'm not putting my stars in a billion-dollar franchise to get hurt by some scout team scrub who rolls an ankle. And
I'm with you. I don't think it's necessary. Those players will get their first game action in week one of the regular season against Washington. Sean McVay also said he will not be playing his starters in the preseason.
Sean McVay said Matt Stafford will never play a snap in a preseason game as long as he's an L.A. Ram. He said that. I loved him for it.
I mean, it's just not necessary.
No, of course not.
It's not necessary.
You know, you think Joy and I go through run-throughs? Only talk when the light's on. Otherwise, don't talk. No practice. We're way.
I mean that is you know you're being sarcastic, but like that's very true.
If you're not hanging Benjamins in front of me, I'm not even talking.
And once you get to a certain level, there's really not a need to rehearse.
You rehearse the show, Ryan, at home? No. Boom.
No.
Lights on, we're brilliant. Other than that, we don't even care.
Now we prepare.
Barely.
We prepare like maniacs.
You know what? I think we do too much of that.
You prepare a lot. Yep. You prepare a lot. No, I mean, Skip and Shannon don't rehearse anything.
Nothing.
You get the topics, they go do their prep, and they show up, lights on, go.
Boom. It's new me.
New show for us. So last year, the Dolphins benched Ryan Fitzpatrick for rookie Tua in the middle of the season. The team was 3-3 when they made the move. And Fitzpatrick was shocked when he got the news. He said, I have a ton of respect for Flores, and we have a very good relationship. But I thought it was a joke at first. We're putting Tua in? I was floored. That was my team. I fought through the bleep with those guys. I get the way that the NFL works. I get it. But to have it happen the way it did, kind of interesting.
For a guy from Harvard, you know, didn't we all know Tua was going to play a little bit? I get what he's saying. I get it. But it's...
Listen, if Tua was 100% healthy, in my opinion, he should have started from week one.
Well, here's what he's saying. Here's what Ryan's really saying. He's saying what Tua admitted. I didn't really know the playbook. And so Fitzpatrick's probably like, at practice going, he's a kid.
That is something.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very intelligent person.
Right.
And he's been around this league a long time. And he's been on many teams.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's unaware of how the shifts of time and the change in personnel happen. It's happened to him many times. So for him to be genuinely shocked.
It tells you that Tua at practice was not entirely ready. He was not
because
ready.
Obviously, when they drafted Tua, Fitzpatrick had to know that the future is Tua.
We forget these guys are at practice all day. Ryan's sitting there thinking he's teaching Tua the offense.
Right.
An hour later, he's starting. You're like, whoa. He didn't know the playbook yet.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, my opinion about rookie quarterbacks is I think we get too caught up in this. Everybody needs to sit a year. Like
some do, some don't.
Okay, but like if you're sitting behind Brett Favre, okay.
Or you're a 1 year starter in college, maybe.
Yes.
Dwayne Haskins.
Extremely raw.
Yeah.
Trey Lance. Okay. I get the value in that. But if you are Justin Fields, if you're even Joe Burrow, who didn't have
he had 2 years starting at 25 starts.
You should start.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's the point. Yeah. And I do think that there is a little bit of a development with certain players where you need to get out there and learn. Like, I don't like that they pulled Tua when they did either. Like, if you're going to turn the team over to him, let him rise and fall. That you can learn things in losses.
Yeah.
Everything isn't about, oh, we won and now learn this. Like, you have to learn how to lose, how to process. What did you do wrong? How am I going to tweak this so I don't do this again? I just felt like it wasn't really handled properly. And this is kind of an interesting observation from Fitzpatrick that he was genuinely shocked about it. So Kawhi Leonard officially re-signed with the Clippers. He agreed to a 4-year, $176.3 million max contract. Stay with the team. He also has a player option in the fourth year. He's still recovering from his ACL injury that he suffered in the playoffs. He expected to miss a significant amount of time this season. So far, there's no timetable for his return, but it's looking around. If it's the long end of it, it'll be around 6 months.
If he gets 25 games end of the regular season, they'll be a good playoff team.
You know, I like that he signed a longer
contract
with the Clippers, though. I think it gives them a little more space. It doesn't mean he has to necessarily rush back. And they can start building for the future. This year without him, they can't have incredibly high expectations. And now they've got him locked up, so they don't have to worry about that moving forward.
Yeah, nor does he. Yeah. He's taken care of. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Huge
news.
Week. End of preseason football starts tonight. I can't wait. I'm supposed to go to a friend's house tonight. I don't know if I can make it. Seriously. I feel terrible, but I don't know if I can make it. Maybe they better have cable. That's all I'm saying.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WolfandShepherd.com, code HERD10. WolfandShepherd.com, code HERD10. Best shoe on the market. Athletic, agile, soul. Business leather, Italian leather on the top. All right, Jason McIntyre, the NFL is officially back. Let's bring him in. Tomorrow's headlines today, we predict with weird accuracy. Jason predicts what the headlines will be after this weekend. So let's start this. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Patriots quarterback battle after last night.
Yeah, well, I heard you watched every single play of the game, and yep. I hope you saw what I saw. The headline will be Belichick fills up on mac and cheese. Colin, I think it's pretty clear Mac Jones is going to be the starter. And I do want to say I feel a little bad for Cam Newton because he got a raw deal. You know, the COVID season, the skill position players were very bad. And basically Mac Jones comes in now and Belichick loaded up in free agency. Two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are very good. Nelson Aguilar, it's like a new team. And Mac Jones has a real opportunity to win the job. I talked about this on my podcast with Albert Breer this week. Like, what happens to Cam when Mac Jones is the quarterback? Because if you look at the schedule, it's kind of favorable for Mac Jones to do some things early in the season against a mediocre slate of pass defenses. And just remember, guys, everybody who said, oh, he's a young quarterback, Mac Jones is turning 23 the week of week one, okay? He's not one of these wet behind the ears guys like Zach Wilson, right, or Trey Lance. It's going to be a 23-year-old young man week one. I think Mac Jones wins a starting job, and I don't know what happens to Cam Newton because, you know, an alpha male like that, a former MVP, I don't know if he's going to be holding a clipboard for long in the NFL.
All right, a slate of great games tomorrow. Yeah. Dolphins at Bears, tomorrow's headlines today, the headline for the Bears quarterback battle.
Yeah, I love this Bears controversy, right? The headline will be Dreams Come True for this Fields. Little spin on last night's baseball game. I think Justin Fields has to be the guy in Chicago. Now, Colin, the concern is, have you looked at the offensive line? They're playing musical chairs with a couple rookies.
Yep.
It doesn't look very good. That being said, Andy Dalton got his butt kicked in Dallas behind a bad offensive line. Justin Fields, agile, very good in and out of the pocket. I think you got to start Fields. Now, Nagy's got a difficult situation. He's on the hot seat, right? And he's like, well, wait, maybe if I bring in Fields midway through the season, that'll help my cause. We'll finish strong. I don't know if that's the case. Just look at the schedule. After the opener against the Rams, the Bears play four straight opponents who were bottom seven pass defenses last year.
Yes.
Justin Fields can do damage in September, early October. I think he wins a job. And Colin, if you listen to some of the quotes from some of the skill position players, Jimmy Graham comparing him to Russell Wilson. Yep. Jimmy Graham played with Russell Wilson. Like, the kids love him in the locker room. I think it's got to be Justin Fields in Chicago.
Broncos, Vikings, tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for the Bronco quarterback battle?
This is the toughest one to handicap. The headline will be Drew is a lock for starting position. Colin, I'm going with Drew Lock here. I know a lot of people want Checkdown Charlie, a.k.a. Teddy Bridgewater. By the way, Teddy Bridgewater is not built for this offense, okay?
Yeah.
They have track stars on the outside. Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton. Teddy Bridgewater's a checkdown guy. He was one of the bottom five quarterbacks on deep ball throws last year. And I just think, listen, Drew Lock was bad last year, but Colin, okay? The offensive line was in shambles. It is improved. Cortland Sutton was out after week one with injuries. And the COVID, like, I'm giving Drew Lock a second chance. I know statistically he was a nightmare, but he was injured too. I think Drew Lock is the guy. No disrespect to Bridgewater. I, by the way, may have an over ticket on Denver Broncos wins this year. That is a sneaky good team. That defense is nasty, Colin.
Yeah, their skill position players are excellent. You go to young tight end.
Oh, yeah.
Saints at the Ravens. Yeah, no offense. Saints at the Ravens. Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for the Saints quarterback battle?
I've taken more heat over my take on the Saints than any other team in the league. The headline will be New Orleans, old problems. Drew Brees is gone, and Colin, I don't like this team, man. I just don't. I don't know what everybody's seeing in the desert. This is a 9-win team, according to Vegas. 9 is the over-under. How? Okay. Jameis Winston was good in Tampa, throwing to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Have you looked at the Bucks? The Saints depth chart with no wide receiver Michael Thomas for the first month. I don't know who these dudes are. The defense, by the way, lost five key contributors. This is a 7-win team in my eyes. I don't see it from Jameis Winston. He's going to be the starter. Taysom Hill is like, you know, you toss him in there for some certain packages and mix things up. But I'm out on the Saints this year. If you look at the division, okay, I think Matt Ryan's a better quarterback with the Falcons, obviously. I think Carolina's got better skill position players, and the Bucs are loaded. I'm not buying the Saints this year. I don't know why people are.
Chiefs at the 49ers. Tomorrow's headlines today. What do you make of the 49ers quarterback battle? It's certainly tasty.
I'm just going to say, we're going to talk about the 49ers almost every week on your show this year. I love this team. The headline will be, Jimmy GQ has a model season. Cullen, I keep coming back to this. I know people, Trey Lance is amazing. Listen, let's just cool our jets on Trey Lance. It sounds like Kyle Shanahan is going to build him some packages to come in and play this year. He's working with the ones, but it feels like a Mike Vick type situation as a rookie. Chris Chandler was the starter in Atlanta, and Vick played in, I believe, half the games just to get acclimated to the NFL speed. I think we'll see that from Trey Lance. Just want to remind people, 2 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo healthy, with healthy receivers, healthy Kittle, healthy running backs. They were very good. They went to the Super Bowl. They were within, I believe, 8 minutes of winning the Super Bowl. I like this 49ers team a lot, Colin. I think plus 1,400 to win the Super Bowl. That's a bet I've already made. I think Jimmy G can get it done. He's got a lot to prove, mostly with the injuries. But when healthy, he's been a very good quarterback in this league. Tell me why I should not like Jimmy G as the starter for the Niners.
You know, what you really said today that I agree with. So the Saints, you make some really good points on the Saints. So I said this, I've been saying this the last hour. I look at myself as a judge and the fans of the jury. I'm not a fan. I think people look to me to be objective, but I get one pass on Carolina and Darnold. So,
yes.
Okay, so I look at their schedule. We got a minute left. Let's put this schedule up. They get so many go-either-way games at home. They have really nice offensive personnel. They lost 8-1 possession games last year.
Yeah.
They opened with Zach Wilson at home, the Saints at home, the Texans. Look at that schedule. What are the Carolina Panthers?
And just remember, their offensive coordinator is one of the sharpest young minds in the league in Joe Brady. He's probably going to be the Bengals' next coach. I'm all in with you. I like the Panthers a lot. I think this is an 8 or 9 win team. They could be sniffing a wild card spot. NFC's kind of weak, Colin. Boom. I like it.
All right. Jason McIntyre, undisclosed location out east. Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, pal.
Hey, you and I, we try to be objective. And every other sportscaster I listen to has a team. And I've always like taken pride in, I don't have one.
Yeah, you generally don't have a team.
It's not my thing. People don't turn to me to hear a fanboy. They want me to be objective. The whole world of sports, I get one.
I have teams. I'm just,
When I was a local sportscaster, people would get mad at me because I wouldn't root for the Buccaneers in Tampa or the Blazers or the Ducks. My takeaway is you don't turn to me. You have a buddy that you does that.
Well, locally, you want the rah-rah sometimes.
Not me.
Yeah.
Journalism reigns. But today, I'm...
You're off the rails.
Hat sideways and uniform wearing.
You're like the guy who's going to show up like...
Face painting.
Yeah, face paint. Like a mohawk.
12-5 Carolina Panthers. Cannot wait for that. Ordered a couple of jerseys. Tired of waiting around for hot water? Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. 15-year warranty. Navien tankless water heaters. Great to have Joy back. And Ryan, we'll see you Monday. Speak for Yourself is coming up next.